We're starting a new series today, and midlife is something that commonly I think we hear it shared as a midlife crisis. Yeah, you get it too. But that's something for people, generally speaking, if you look it up, between 40 and 60, it's supposed to hit. But if you're a millennial, where are my millennials at in the room? You guys are overachievers, and you think you're hitting it in your 30s, all right? So depending on which age bracket you might be in, you could be in midlife, I suppose, from 30-something all the way to about 60. And that's the midlife crisis. But that's not what we're going to talk about in this series. What we're going to talk about is maybe a new term to some of you, but it's the midlife. The Urban Dictionary states this, that mid is used to insult or degrade an opposing opinion, labeling it as average or poor quality. Mid is used to describe something that is neither good nor bad, just average or unremarkable. And so it would be like if somebody asked you, hey, how was that movie that you went and watched? And you said, oh, it's kind of mid. Or if somebody said, how was the burger at that restaurant? And you said, it's kind of mid. And what you're saying is it wasn't the greatest thing, but it wasn't the worst thing. So it's just kind of in the middle. It's just kind of unremarkable. And so what we're going to do over this month of February is we're going to look at being midlife, like having a life that's unremarkable. It's not incredible, but it's not horrible. It's just kind of mid. But here's the problem with that. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. That you might have abundant life. And so the difficulty is, I don't know that in the Christian world, there are a lot of people who have come out of mid. Let me say, for example, I think in Indiana, where we are, and I know there are people watching from all over the country, even the world, but in Indiana, where we're at, many people would classify themselves as Christian. If they were asked, they would say, hey, I'm Christian. You said, are you one? And they might qualify that by saying, I go to church at least Christmas and Easter, and I even go some other times as well. And I'm a good person. I try to do good, and I believe in God. I believe I'm going to go to heaven. But what if instead of asking you, we ask the people around you if you're a Christian? If we were to ask them, what would they say? Would they say something like, well, mid. I don't think they're the greatest. I don't think they're the worst. I think they're just kind of there. And so in this series, again, I want us to define what we're looking at over these next 4 weeks. Let me help you. We're going to put it on the screen. What if we are mid-Christian? Let me define for you what I think maybe mid-Christian would be, having a half-hearted faith. wearing the label of Christianity without truly following Jesus, being a true Christ follower. This message in this series kind of got me thinking about a poem that I read. It was very striking to me at the time. It was when I was first getting into the ministry, and I looked it up and I found it. I want to read it to you this week. It's called $3 Worth of God by Wilbur Ries. He states, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, but not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Pretty powerful. Welcome to Crossroads Church. Aren't you glad you're here today? We're just here to help you feel good about yourself. That's why we exist. Now, what I want to communicate and what we've been communicating since the first of the year is God has more for you than what you're currently experiencing. God is bigger than what you've known him to be up to this point. I believe that. I believe no matter how long I live, that God is bigger than my imagination. He is bigger than my ability to experience him. And so every day I can experience more and more of God. God has not called you to a midlife. He has called you to life to the full. And in Revelation, if you want to turn to the last book that's recorded in our Bibles, the revelation of Jesus that John records, Jesus is speaking to the church. And in Revelation 3, he's speaking to the Laodicean church, and he gives a very, very clear, straight message. And I want to read that message to you today. In Revelation 3:15, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. You're kind of mid, huh? I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, oh, I am rich. I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus is not messing around in these verses. Let me just set the stage of the context of what this is all about. Laodicea is an actual old historical city. And history records that Laodicea at that time was one of the richest cities in all of the Roman Empire. They were rich in banking. They were rich in textiles. They had a medical school. They were known for their eye salve that they produced and shipped all over the then known world. They had built themselves and rebuilt themselves into quite the rich society. And yet Jesus, when he speaks to the church that's located in this metropolitan, very successful, very prosperous area, it is a very striking comparison to the things that this city actually lacked. Because historians say, though they had all these textiles, they had all this money, they had all of this medicine, that they had a lack of water. And yet there were two cities that were just a few miles away that had plenty of water. There was Hierapolis that had a hot spring. It was known for the hot springs. It was known as a healing place. People would go there so they could sit in the healing waters of Hierapolis and be refreshed, be healed in those hot springs. And then there was another city, Colossae. And Colossae was a mountainous type area. And what happened there is from the mountains would come cold water that would be refreshing to drink. And so because of their wealth, they set up aqueducts from those two cities to bring water to their city and to help them to have an adequate water supply. But because the water had to travel over these miles, by the time it reached Laodicea, it often was lukewarm. The hot water had cooled off, and the cold water had warmed up and was tepid. Also a problem, as you might guess, in an ancient world like this, and trying to do this sophisticated system to traverse all these miles with this water, often it could also get contaminated. And instead of bringing healing waters to Laodicea, it would bring contaminated water and made people sick. And Jesus uses this as a comparison to the church that's there and says, you're kind of like the city that you live in. You're kind of like what's going on around you. You have acclimated as well, that you have lost your spiritual passion. But it's not just passion. And I'll be honest, when I've heard this message preached or this text preached before in all the years of being in church, that's usually the emphasis is, hey, we need to be hot for God, you know? We need to be red hot. Come on, can I get a good amen? Can we, you know, just be red hot for God? And that is true. But as I was studying this, I think there's something deeper here than just spiritual passion. There is spiritual purpose. These people are not fulfilling their purpose. They're not fulfilling the purpose in which God gave to them. And so Jesus says to them, hey, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're mid, you just got this mid relationship with me, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And it's interesting because in looking up this word for spit, because I thought, you know, is there another situation of this? And I've thought about Jesus spitting in dirt and things like that. But the word that was used there is not the same word. This actually is the only time in the New Testament that this Greek word is used, put on the screen, emmeo. And the word emmeo in New Testament Greek is a graphic word that means to vomit or throw up, to spew out forcefully. Anyone who's had a newborn understands this term, right? You know, have you ever, you just had this first baby and you just were so enthralled with the baby and you're laying in the floor and the baby's in the floor and you pick the baby up over your face and you're kind of twisting the baby in the air and all of a sudden, this incredible force. You know what I'm talking about? And that is exactly what he's communicating here. That you are lukewarm. You're just mid. And it's like a casual Christianity. And to Jesus, this casual Christianity is intolerable. It's not just uncomfortable. It's intolerable. He says, I just can't stomach it. I did not die on the cross for that. For you to just be mid. For you to not be hot or cold. For you just be kind of okay. And have a half-hearted mid faith. Or in other words, like the poet Wilbur said, just $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to change my life, just enough that I feel comfortable. And the scripture says this is absolutely repugnant to God. Jesus says in verse 17, you say, so here's what we say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and check this out, and do not need a thing, but you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Notice, I don't need anything. See, I think this is where much of our culture is. And the reason why, for many of us, God is the last resort. Because we have so much. You know, we've got medical science that we can go to. We've got people that can help us. We've got resources. We've got the internet. We've got AI. We've got all of these things that we can turn to when we have a pain, when we have a pain point in our lives, when we have a challenge, and we say, you know what? I got what I need. I'm good. And I'm a good person on top of it. And you know, really, no one has the right to tell me how to live my life. It's my truth. It's my life. And I don't need some outdated, irrelevant religion to make me feel better. And maybe you don't. Until you do. The reason why some of you are here today is because that happened to you. The reason why some of you pray now is because you've been forced to your knees. The reason why you're here today maybe is because you had a bad medical report. Or your spouse walked out. Your girlfriend broke up with you. You lost your job. Your child stopped talking to you. Or maybe on the flip, you got the car you wanted and dreamed of. The house, the dream house, the boat, the vacations, all the things. But yet after you obtained all the things that you thought would make you satisfied, there's still an emptiness. There's still something missing. Because it's like you're rich in things, but poor in spirit. And in verse 17, Jesus says it like this. He says, you don't realize. You got all this stuff. You're in this rich community there in Laodicea, and you do not realize that really you're poor and naked. You know, let me just talk to the guys for a second. Have you ever gone somewhere and thought, boy, that interview went great? Or, you know, that speech that I gave, that was one of my best, or that presentation at work or whatever, only to go to the restroom to maybe use the restroom and found out your fly had been open that whole entire time. Can anybody feel my pain up here today? Because I have been that guy before. And Jesus says, you don't realize your fly's open. You don't realize that you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. And the question today is, what if you are actually mid? What if you're actually lukewarm, but you don't realize it? You think, I think I'm fine spiritually. You know, I read the Bible occasionally. I had godly parents. But you're not living out your God-given purpose for being on this planet. And Jesus would say, you're spiritually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I think perhaps being a mid-Christian is the ultimate self-deception. And my concern is that many Americans fit in this. We want enough Jesus to soothe our conscience, but not enough to transform our lives. And I want to give you, in these closing moments, five red flags of a midlife. All right? Maybe you need to write these down. Maybe you need to talk about these this week in your life group. Maybe some of you that just joined the life group over the last couple weeks, maybe ask these. How do these land with each of you? Five red flags. Here's the first one. You seek others' approval more than God's. You know, you want to fit in. You don't want to stand out, be weird or too odd. And you want to be popular. You want likes. You want to be liked. And so you just go along with the crowd. You snicker at the joke, you whatever, because it's just easier. It's just easier to do that. And Jesus said this, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. He said that, if you're following me, you know what's going to happen? People are going to make fun of you. If you're really following me, because just watch me. Just watch how they treat me. So if you're trying to be like me, if you're following me, these kind of things are going to happen to you. As a matter of fact, he promised it this way, you will be persecuted if you're following me. And then here's another one, is you excuse sin. You excuse sin. You know, I've got a problem. Let's call it that. But it's no big deal. Because I'm not hurting anyone else. And everyone else is doing it. And some people are doing it more than I do it. And it's really no one's business anyway if I choose to do that. I don't see anything wrong with it. And Isaiah says, woe to those of you who call good evil and evil good. Another one is you don't share Jesus. You could be a mid-Christian if you don't share Jesus. And I don't know about you, but this one's very convicting to me, because I can go quite a stretch without inviting someone to church. I can go along, I can go days without inviting anyone to participate in the life of Jesus. And I and you are called to be light. And the darker the world gets, the brighter we should shine at school, at work, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are. And yet, it seems like many of us are perhaps embarrassed to share Jesus. Or we say, oh, I just don't want to offend someone. I don't want to be pushy. Or I'm not good at explaining things. Or I don't think it's my gift. And yet Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Here's the next one. Is you call on God in need only. I mean, if there's a crisis, then you pray. If it gets bad enough, if it gets horrible enough, then you pray. Rather than saying, every day I want to seek your face, God. Every day I want to get closer to you than I was yesterday. I want to seek you. I'm not seeking you because I want something from you. How many parents in the house, right? How many, you know when your kids want something, you know? They're trying to, you know, be all lovey and everything because, you know, a few moments ago, they were totally ignoring you. You were talking, they weren't even listening. But then they saw something on their phone or their device that they want you to buy for them, and the sweetness is just pouring out, you know. And here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to seek him so that we're filled with his Spirit. We are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is not a tool that we use when we need him. He is a God that we fear and we worship because he is awesome and he is worthy of praise. Here's another one, is you look like the world. You blend in rather than stand apart. How do you know? You talk like the world. You gossip like the world. You cuss like the world. You're critical of other people like the world. You're negative like the world. You take God's name in vain, perhaps. You rationalize lust and sexual sin and say, well, everybody's got issues. Or you party, you drink, you get drunk, you get high because life's short and you gotta have fun and God will understand and he gets it. And maybe you live for money. You live for success, for things. and not yet you claim Jesus, but love the world. And the question is, what if you don't realize that you're really poor? 1 John 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father, guess what? It's not in them. It's not in them. And you may say, well, Craig, okay, whoo, you're coming out hot today. And maybe I'm a little bit convicted right now. Does that mean Jesus is mad at me? No. Jesus, when he spoke to this church, he wasn't trying to make them feel bad. He wasn't poking at them to make them feel bad about their midlife that they were living. But he offered them something. Look at this in verse 19. He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Right? Everyone I love, I don't want them to just do whatever they want to do. They'll get off track. It's just like a parent with your kids. You can't let them just run out in the street. You can't let them just have the internet when they're a kid and just run with it. There's danger out there. And Jesus says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent. And here's repent and turn. Do a 180 from your indifference. And I would say that word indifference is where many of the Christian community and churches land. Where we're casual Christians. And what do you do if you're Christian in name only? What if you have no power of the Holy Spirit in your life? What about if you get sick, you just go, you come unglued. You just don't know what I'm going to do. Instead of turning to the healer who is able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, who when we call, he will answer us. That he can do miracles. Do we act more like the world or do we act more like the disciples? Who were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and became fully alive to the point they were willing to die for Jesus. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I could give you a whole long list today of Christian stuff that you could do. You know, there's tons of Christian things that you could do. I'm going to make it really, really simple because my goal today is that you will walk out changed. It's just a simple goal. That you would do something about this message. That you would not just hear it, but you would do what it's challenging you to do. And that is to walk as a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus. Rochelle and I were talking the other day to somebody, and she said, I kind of like saying, I'm a Jesus follower rather than a Christian. Because Christian could mean so much. She didn't know I was going to speak on this today. And it's the way our culture terms things. But a true, fully devoted follower, fully alive in Jesus, the Holy Spirit resident within us, connecting us to the living God day after day, even moment by moment. How do we do that? Here it is. You ready? Five of you are ready, all right? Turn to the person next to you and say, you ready? Okay, turn to the other person that you're choosing secondly and say, I'm ready, all right? I'm ready. Here it is. To walk as a true disciple, once you do this, take a step of faith daily. Just every day, just take a step of faith. And you know why I say that? Because to take a step of faith takes faith. It takes faith, and it takes trust. Who are you trusting in? Because when you step out where you can't see, you have to trust somebody. You have to trust them. And it requires us to trust Jesus. In other words, do what's right tomorrow, even if it costs you. Worship today, even if you don't feel like it. Forgive somebody, even though they don't deserve it. Volunteer to pray. Hold on, out loud at Life Group. Say, I'll close in prayer. I'll open in prayer. Or if you're not in a Life Group, get in a Life Group. Take that step. This week, one day this week, invite someone to church that could change their life. This week, give a sacrificial offering above the tithe, just like we did in the miracle offering. Or tithe, because I'll tell you, tithing requires faith. Put your money where your mouth is. Right? Do something. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So just determine, I will not settle for being a mid-Christian. I will not settle for a mid-life. I cannot be connected to the living God who rose from the dead in the power of the Spirit. I cannot have that much power living in me and not be different from somebody else who doesn't have it. I cannot be lukewarm, tepid. I have got to be hot and faithful, serving, glorifying the God who died for me, who is coming back for me, who is giving me a life that I don't deserve in heaven with him forever. Come on, somebody. I mean, that's what he has for us. I'm going to be more concerned. Tell yourself this. I'm going to be more concerned this week with what God thinks of me than my neighbor, my coworkers, my fellow students. I'm going to seek God's approval above all else. I'm not going to excuse sin in my life this week. I'm going to repent of it and get away from it and not have it in my life. I'm going to believe for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to break every chain of hell off of my mind, off of my soul, off of my actions, off of every part of me. Instead of hiding my faith this week, I am going to be bold and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because I believe it is the power of God to him that believes. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to just pray if I need God. I'm going to pray because I love God. I'm going to seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness. And as I seek him, he's going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory, because that's the kind of God that he is. I am not going to settle for a midlife, mid-Christian life. I'm not going to settle for mediocre, lukewarm existence. I'm going to die to myself and live for God. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you need to tell yourself. And if you're a mid-Christian here today, you've got Christian t-shirts and jewelry and some stuff, and you got a Bible somewhere, but you know you're not following Jesus, what should you do? You should invite Jesus in. Because here's what he says. Let's look at this as we close. Revelation 3:20. Let's get back to the text. Jesus, after he's told them, hey, you're mid. And because you're mid, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I can't tolerate this. I didn't die for this. I didn't give my life for that. That kind of Christianity. He says, here's what I do. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Those are some of the most powerful words to me in all the Bible. I will come in. I don't care what sin you've done. I don't care how much sin you've done. I don't care who you are. I'm knocking. And if you'll open, I will come in and we will share a meal together. And check this out, as friends. And the tense of Greek that's used in this word knock is like a continual action. In other words, some of you know this, he won't stop knocking. You've run. You've tried to outrun him. You've tried to get away from church. You've tried to say, oh, I'm not going to go back to what my mom and dad taught me. I'm not going to go back to Sunday school stories. And I'm not going to do that. I know, but how many know there was just that knocking of a relentless Savior who would not quit, even though you quit on him. He said, I will never quit on you. I'm telling you, this is some of the most powerful scripture in all the Bible, because it gives me hope. It gives you hope. There's nobody I can talk to, but you don't have hope. See, if you'll open the door, he'll come in. He's wanting you to open it up today. And let me just encourage you, when you do, just go all in. Just go all in. Don't settle for American Christianity. Don't settle for mid-Christian. Don't settle for mid-life. And Christians, stop asking God to make you more comfortable. Start asking God to make you more committed. Now, I'm not going to settle for a faith that looks the part but lacks the power. I'm not going to be a casual Christian. I am not going to grieve the heart of God, because midlife doesn't just grieve God, it robs you. It robs you of the power that is available. The life you could have. The enablement that you could enjoy, that Jesus died for and rose from the dead, that could come into your life. Are you kidding me? you'd never be the same again. So today, don't give him half your heart. He left heaven, came to earth, lived here, took your sin upon him, died with it on the cross so that you can be free, so that you can accept his sacrifice for you and join him forever. And if you'll open the door today, that's what will happen. Let's pray. Father, help us today to not just walk by sight, but may we be Christians who walk by faith. That we step out in faith. Maybe some of you, you'd say, Craig, I need to do those things. I need to step out in faith more. I need to move out of my comfort zone. I'll admit, it's easy for me to get comfortable, but I don't want to be just comfortable. I want to be committed, and I want to live a dynamic life in Christ. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want God to flow through me every day, inviting people, speaking to people, moving in faith, moving in God's power, seeing God work in my home, my family, my friends all around me. I want the vibrant, life-giving life that Jesus has for me. If you want all God has, will you come on, church? Will you just raise your hand today? Yeah. Let's just raise our hands and surrender. Lord, help your church today. That we would take this message to heart, that we would not just hear it and say, yeah, I need to do something, but Lord, may we actually do it. May we actually live by faith and not by sight. God, this week, use us to invite someone to church, maybe for the first time in a long time. Use us this week to tithe like we've never tithed before. Use us this week to pray over somebody right in a public setting like maybe we never have before. Use us this week to maybe serve you in some way like we've been holding back. Help us to step out of the comfort zone. In Jesus' name. While we're still praying, there are others that are here today, some online, that you realize after this message, I am not following Jesus. I am not following Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not following him. And what you need to realize today is he is knocking at the door. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop until you open it. But if you would open it today, I'm just telling you on the authority of my own experience and experience of hundreds, even thousands of people that I have known that have opened the door to Jesus, is your life will be better. It will be better. Because the power of the living God will come inside of you. And if you're here today and you say, I don't want fake Christian, I want the real deal. I want all God has. I know that I want to be a follower of Jesus today. Will you just raise your hand all over this room? Just raise it up and say, yeah, that's me today. I need to be a follower of Jesus. Yeah, hands going up across this room. Online, type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this prayer after me so that those who have raised a hand will pray it with faith. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all sin, including mine. So today I receive Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I resign this world and I sign up to be a child of the living God. Thank you for adopting me into your family today. Fill me with your Spirit to give me power to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody. Let's praise him today for those who prayed that. I pray this week you begin to thrive in the relationship that God has for you. We want to do everything we can to help you with that, to help you on the front side of the communication card, connection card that you received, and you've already filled out part of it. There are two boxes. One box says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. And if you think, I don't know that I've ever really been a Christ follower, I don't know that I've ever really been that. Maybe you've been religious or whatever, but you've never really been a Christ follower. But today you made that decision, just check that box. Or if you say, I did, but I walked out. I walked away from him. But today he just keeps on knocking and you open the door. Then check that box that you renewed your commitment to Christ. We're going to be praying for you. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come. We have a Next Steps room right across the hall. If you have not been baptized and you'd like to get baptized, if you'd like to join a life group, if you want to know more about our growth track, then go over across the hall and they'll explain all of that to you. These prayer partners are here for you today. So if you need prayer for any reason, after I prayed, just come on down and let somebody pray with you. Father, help us to put this word into action. Help our church to be different as a result of today. And Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.